أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سن بسنة يوم الدين، أما بعد. Today we're going to start with a new story of a new prophet, Prophet Jesus, Isa al-Islam, as the suggestion was from the people. Last time we finished the story of Prophet Yusuf al-Islam. Prophet Isa al-Islam is unique in the sense that his birth was unique, his end, temporary end, was unique, and his life on earth was unique itself. But he has to complete a normal life. As the scholars of Islam say, that Isa al-Islam, Prophet Jesus, has two phases: an unusual phase of life in this world, which he lived, and a usual phase of life, which he is yet to live. He's going to come back, live like any one of us, normal life, and die naturally and normally, and then he will finish the case. Another uniqueness about Isa al-Islam is every prophet is named after his father, and every human being in this world is named after their father, whether you call it Fatima bint Muhammad or you call it Sulaiman ibn Dawood al-Islam, or like our children, we also name our children, our sons and daughters, but we name them after father. Whenever you go to fill up the form for driver license, passport, ID, anything, say, okay, name of father. Who's the father? Who's the father? Isa al-Islam is unique. He has no father. And that is the beginning of the trouble in this dunya. People thought Allah is his father, and that created the problem. But the first question that people ask, why? Why did Allah choose Isa al-Islam to be born in a unique way? What is the wisdom, hikmah behind it? I mean, like, many Muslims have this wrong aqidah, that the reason I say wrong aqidah, because this is wrong to question Allah's authority. Many Muslims have this wrong aqidah, ke if Allah did not create Isa Islam, this life would have been much easier. Hamari liye itni mushkil nahi hoti. Agar Allah Taala jo hai na Isa Islam ko ek baap ke saath paida kar dete, bahut masle khatam. Na ye trinity hoti, na tasleesh hoti, na ye nasraniyat hoti, na ye nasraniyat se jhamelna padta. This is wrong aqeed. Allah SWT does everything for a purpose, maqsad, hadaf. And the goal that Allah wanted to show was to make two things very clear. Allah qadirun ala ibadi. Allah is qadir, able, powerful, mighty, above all things. He can do everything. If he created Adam al-Islam from no father, no mother, he can create Isa al-Islam from no father. That's one thing that Allah wanted to show, that people don't get brainwashed thinking that there's a cycle, there's a system, you have to have a father and a mother, then only a child. Allah can do anything. In fact, the phases of creation or the types of creation are four. What are they? Number one, no father, no mother, Adam al-Islam. Number two, no mother, but a man. We don't call it a father, but a man. From Adam al-Islam, Allah made Hawa. No mother. She didn't go through a mother or through the delivery and the whole phases. Third thing, no father, but there's a mother, Maryam and Isa al-Islam. And fourth, which me and you and all of us have been created for so many thousands of years, as people have become programmed. So Allah wanted to break this cycle and make the people know that look, Allah is not fixed by asbab, by means, but Allah is the one who created the means. Second thing, that the scholars inform from this creation and from this Isa al-Islam was to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats men and women equally. How, you may ask? All the prophets, can we say, unanimously agree that all the prophets of Allah were men? Yes, there was not a woman prophet. So people began to think, that means Allah is favoring men. He only chooses men to be prophets. So to break this cycle also, one cycle was to break the programming that a human being can be only created through these means. Allah wanted to break that cycle. Another thing that Allah wanted to say that, look, if I chose all the prophets from men, where do the prophets come from? A woman. A woman. So Allah wanted to elevate the rank and status of woman. Basically, so the creation of Isa al-Islam, Jesus al-Islam, Allah wanted to favor the women folk on this earth. Allah wanted to show the maqam, the rutbah, the status and rank of womanhood on earth. In fact, very clearly Allah wanted to say that in fact Allah is saying very clearly in the Quran that the women have an edge over men. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Maryam bint Imran. Yes, Maryam is always recognized by her father's name, Imran. Imran alayhi salam was also his father and was one of the chiefs over there. And his daughter was Maryam. Whenever we talk about Isa alayhi salam, we can never do justice unless we talk about Mary, Maryam. And that is why today in the beginning of this series of Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, in these 2-3 weeks, we first start with the foundation. Who is Mary? What is the background behind it? And then we go on to Isa alayhi salam. So Isa is never referred to as Isa ibn something. He can never be referred to that. We all are referred to as Ibn for the sons. Like this person, Ibn this. Muhammad ibn Ahmed. Ahmed ibn Muhammad. Meaning Muhammad the son of Ahmed. Ahmed the son of Muhammad. But Isa alayhi salam can never be called Ibn something. He has to be called Ibn the Imran, the son of Mary. Jesus the son of Mary. Jesus the son of Mary. So Allah's mother elevated the rank of woman and also showed that mothers have a big maqam. Mother's name is also popularized in society from them. What is the background behind Mary? The mother of Maryam alayhi salam, the wife of Imran, she could not conceive a child. And so therefore she would be sad and depressed. She would see all the women, please close the door inshallah. She would see all the women having children, but she would feeling. So one day she saw a bird giving food to her little birds in the nest. And she said, I wish if I have a boy, if I have a son, if I have a baby, I will dedicate that baby to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the khidmah of Allah and Allah's deen in Bayt al-Maqdis. They used to live in Jerusalem. This was the Nanijan or grandmother, maternal grandmother of Isa al-Islam. She made this dedication. She had a desire. She said, Oh Allah, if you bless me a child, I will give this child to you. Inni nadartu lirahmani. That's what Allah SWT tells us in the Quran. That she says, that is qalat imratu imran rabbi inni nadartu laka ma fi batni muharraran fataqabbal minni innaka antas samiyul alim. In Surah Al-Imran, Surah 3, verse 35, Allah SWT tells us, is qalat imratu imran. Is, meaning when. Remember when the wife of Imran, she said, Rabbi inni nazartu, my Rabb, my beloved Allah, nazartu, nazar. It's an Urdu word also. Many ye nazar kiya. Yalla gave us a nazar kiya. This thing is for Allah. So she said that inni nazartu ma fi batni muharraran. I dedicate whatever is in my stomach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khalisan li wajhihi. Purely and sincerely for Allah. Now when she did this nazar, she had in her mind, niya intention, as all the scholars in never say, a boy. Allah had other plans, she had her own plan. She had a plan that inshallah I'll get a boy, nice young boy, this boy will be, because boys were taken in Bayt al-Maqdis, this was the rewards, this was a custom trial at that time, system, that boys, people will come with their boys and bring them to them Bayt al-Maqdis and drop them on and say, we have dedicated this for the khidmah of Allah, khidmah of masjid, keep them here. So they would have like hostels, rooms around in Bayt al-Maqdis at that time. These boys would live there, the whole tarbiyah, ta'aleem, their growing will be inside there, their kafala will be there from the masjid, because those families have dedicated. And what they'll do is they'll clean the masjid, they'll look after the masjid, make azan, learn with the imams over there. Of course, at this time, the Prophet on earth was who? Zakariya al-Islam. Zakariya al-Islam was in charge of Bayt al-Maqdis because he was the Prophet chosen by Allah at that time. And remember, Zakariya al-Islam also had a son, Yahya. John, as they call him, John the Baptist, but we don't agree to say Baptist. We say just John. And he was a prophet too. Prophet Yahya or John alayhi salam. Anyway, so when she made this nazar, meaning the maternal grandmother, the nanny of Isa alayhi salam, she made this dedication, Oh Allah, please, if I get a child, of course she meant as a son, I will give it to you for your dedication. Because she saw so many families coming to Bayt al-Maqdis, dropping off their sons for that. She never intended if there's going to be a girl, what's going to happen? Without knowing the gender of the child that is to be born to her, she just made another. And then Allah narrates in the Quran, for thousands of years this has been there, and it is in the Quran, and for so many years till Qiyamah, this ayah will be there in Surah Al-Imran, where Allah is narrating about the Nani or maternal grandmother of Isa Islam, the mother of Mary. Allah is narrating upon her saying that she gasped when the child was born. She was shocked and stunned because she had other intentions, and Allah wanted to prove something else to humanity. Allah wanted to show the world something, a message, a strong message. Like I said before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the creation of Jesus, Isa Islam, has broken two big myths that humanity always had, and Allah wanted to crush the system of mankind that they had. One, in the system of creation, it has to have a male and a female, then only you can get child. Allah broke that cycle with that miraculous birth. And second thing, Allah wanted to get away from the males of the society, this feeling that males have an edge over females, because Allah chose all the prophets to be males. So with the birth of Jesus, Isa al-Islam, Allah shattered both these myths and crushed both these mentalities to bring equality. So Allah says in the Quran, verse 36 in Surah Al-Imran, فَلَمَّا وَدَعَتْهَا. And then when she conceived him, I mean when she conceived her, the mother of Mary, وَدَعَتْهَا, meaning put her, when Mary al-Islam came to this world, قَالَتْ رَبِّي إِنِّي وَدَعْتُهَا أُنْفَى. She approached Allah, the mother of Mary, meaning the Nani, grandmother of Isa al-Islam. She is sort of, she's feeling sad, she's feeling depressed, and she's pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's pleading, oh Allah, I gave birth to a girl, to a daughter. إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعْتُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ, and Allah is well aware of what, she doesn't have to tell Allah. Allah is the one who's giving her the child, the baby. So Allah knows well aware what she is getting. But she exasperated in shock and agony, because her plan was something else. The moment she saw a daughter born, her plans were shattered. All those beautiful images she saw, that sons are coming and being dropped off at Bayt al-Maqdis, people are dedicating never their boys, their sons to the Bayt al-Maqdis. She's saying, oh my God, what am I going to do with this girl? Never before in history of Bayt al-Maqdis at that time, any daughter or girl came to Masjid. And as if they thought, see, Allah is breaking all these lifelong myths. There was a myth that people thought only sons can come and be dropped off at Bayt al-Maqdis for the dedication, consecration, you know, mother of Allah's one. So Allah's mother is saying, I accept your mother, I accept your dedication. Regardless of what you give birth, whether you give birth to a boy or a girl, that is Allah's job, how to tackle the issue. Your job in saying is that if you dedicate something for the servitude of Allah, for the khidmah of Allah's deen, you dedicate. But now she's showing resentment. She's showing a kind of hesitation. Oh my God, I had intended the whole lifelong dream based on that I'll get a son, but now I give birth to a daughter. Wallahu a'lam bima wadat, and Allah is saying here that Allah is well aware of what she gave birth. And then she says, the mother of Mary, the nanny of Isa Islam, وَلَيْسَ ذَكْرُكَ الْأُنْسَى. Many people misunderstand. Many people misunderstand this ayah and misconstrue it by thinking that, oh, Allah is saying in this ayah that the boy, Zakr, is not like the girl, Unsa. No, it's the call of the mother of Mary. Mother of Mary, meaning the wife of Imran, and the nanny and maternal grandmother of Isa al-Islam, she's the one who's saying, Allah is just narrating in this ayah, saying that, look, my slave, the mother of Mary, she expressed her feeling inside that she was there. Meaning even the mother of Mary is acknowledging the fact, وَلَيْسَ الزَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْسَى, and the male is not like the female. But Allah is not saying that. Allah is saying, you made a dedication, you made a devotion, that whatever child comes to you, you're going to give to Masjid, you're going to give to Allah. Allah is saying, even now that you've given birth to a daughter, your family is a chosen family. The family of Imran. The family of Imran is a very chosen family, because Allah chose from this family not one, but two people. Mary, Virgin Mary, having her izzah and maqam, as we see, and also Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, who became a prophet. Some scholars are of the opinion, which is a very minority, very small, they are not, major, but Ibn Hazm and the other scholars who consider Mary to be a prophet, and they call her as a prophet Mary. But the majority of the Muslim scholars unanimously agree that Allah did not call her, associate with her, Mary, as a prophet, because she was not a prophet. There are no clear indications from the ayats, nor did Rasulullah in his ahadith ever say that Mary is, or Maryam is a prophet. However, Allah SWT here wants to show and shower His blessing and mercy, showing that every prophet has to come from a mother. And so what if all the prophets were born with a father and a mother? I have chosen Jesus, Isa al-Islam, to be a unique prophet, having only a mother, and chosen her, his mother also, Mary, to be a unique woman, in that no male king in her life, no male king in her life, except the only male, Isa al-Islam, her son, her own very dear son, flesh. So she says here, وَلَيْسَ ذَكْرُكَ الْأُنْزَى وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمَ وَإِنِّي أَعِذُوهَا بِكَ وَزُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. In the words of Mother of Mary, Allah's mother, is saying that she said, وَلَيْسَ ذَكْرُكَ الْأُنْزَى, meaning the mother of Mary said that certainly the boy is not like the girl, and I have named her, meaning I have named my girl, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمَ, I have named her Mary or Maryam. وَإِنِّي أَعِذُوهَا, and I seek refuge in you, Allah, for my daughter Mary. Bika wa zurriyataha, I seek refuge in you, Allah, for my daughter Mary and for any child that comes from Mary. See, the nani of Isa Islam does not know what's going to happen in future, whether my daughter Mary is going to marry someone and have a family, have something, but she's asking protection from Allah ahead of time. Oh Allah, protect my daughter Mary and protect all the progeny and offspring that come from her from shaitan. إِنِّي أَعُوذُهَا بِكَ وَزُرِّيَّتَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. In context of this ayah, Rasulullah ﷺ said in a hadith, a very beautiful hadith, where he informed us, you know, brothers and sisters, every child that is born cries. Did you ever know why it cries? Rasulullah ﷺ said in, it is in Imam Ahmad, narration by Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he said in a hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ told us, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا وَالشَّيْطَانُ يَمَسُّهُ حِينَ يُولَدُ فَيَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا مِن مَسِّ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا مَرْيَمْ وَابْنَهَا وَقْرَأُوا إِن شَئْتُمْ إِنِّي أَعِذُهَا بِكَ وَزُرِيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Abu Huraira is narrating that Rasulullah told us, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ, there's not a single newborn child that is born except that shaitan يَمَسُّهُ, shaitan smites at that child, him or her. When the child is born, as soon as the child, the delivery is performed and the child comes in the dunya. Now I know many people say, oh, when the child is right away born, it's not making any sound. Right. But the doctor or the nurse, they try to clear the throat, and as soon as they clear the throat, the child starts screaming, shouting. Two children that were born on this earth never shouted, never screamed. One was Mary. When Mary came in this dunya, she did not cry. And yes, it was not unusual. It was unusual at that time for them. And they were concerned, but they knew that he's special. Similarly, when Isa al-Islam was born, the son of Mary and the grandson of the wife of Imran, he also did not. And Rasulullah said, every child from the time of Adam al-Islam till the last day that the child will be born, every child goes through this cycle. As soon as the child is born, after through the 9 months process, as soon as it is born, shaitan comes and attacks us once on the right and once on the left and says, I am your enemy, ana adu Allah, I am the enemy of Allah and I am your enemy, and be ready and prepared to fight. Except that he said that, illa Maryam wabnaha, except for Mary, Maryam and her son. He could not do that. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, what happened at the case of Mary and Jesus when they were born? كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ تَلِدُهُ أُمُّهُ يَلْكُوثُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فِي هَذْنَيْهِ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ مِنْ مَرْيَمْ وَابْنَهَا أَلَمْ تَرَوْا إِلَى الصَّبِيِّ هِنَا يَسْكُتُ كَيْفَ يَصْرُخُ قَالُوا بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ ذَلِكَ هِنَا يَلْكُوثُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي هَذْنَيْهِ. Every human, when he is given birth, Satan kicks him on his two sides, except Mary and her son. Don't you see how the baby cried when he comes out? The companions of Rasulullah said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, that happens when Satan kicks him on his two sides. Amma, for the sake of Mary and Jesus alayhi salam, he did do the same thing, but Allah SWT protected them. Why? As a result of the dua of the wife of Imran. As a result of the dua of the nani or grandmother of Isa alayhi salam. Here the scholars interpreted or extrapolated a hukum, ruling. What is that hukum? When did the nani or mother of Mary make this dua? When she was hamil. So the scholars have extrapolated from this incident from Surah Al-Imran that throughout the 9 months it is incumbent upon the mother to keep on doing good things. By good things they mean tilawat al-Quran, zikr of Allah, a lot of salat, nawafil of salat. If they can fast, it's fine in the early times. Also a lot of sadaqat, a lot of hasanat, and especially listening to a lot of Quran, whether from cassette or CD. Every child that goes through a 9 months of listening, a lot of times people think that whatever is going on through those months, it is not affecting the child. It is definitely affecting the child. Because the mother of Mary alayhi salam, she made this dua while Mary was not in this dunya yet, in physical terms. But Allah SWT listened to her dua, and look how Allah did not just protect Mary, but the son of Mary who came after so many years down the road, Isa alayhi salam. So that's why the scholars use this ayah and this tafsir, saying that whenever you get the good news from Allah that you're going to be parents, father and mother both, especially the mother, and for the father he should encourage his wife during those months to increase in ibadah. If the fatigue and tiredness of hamil is not making her allow to do ibadah, then she can listen maximum time. She can listen to a lot of things, because whatever she listens, it transpires into the child. And that is why people in Germany, in German hospitals in Germany, tried this, that when the newborn child would go to the newborn ward, and when the child is screaming, you know, and when they're screaming either for food or for diaper change or something, it's usually, so the nurses get agonized. Someone somewhere, I guess, informed them or something, so they got this idea to use a tape recorder. This is not nowadays, it's like 20, 30 years ago I'm talking about this. They got a tape recorder with the Qari's recitation, like Qari Abdul Basit from Egypt. They would play that. Any child that was there, that was born to a Muslim and went through this process, would be quiet. Would become quiet the moment the Quran would be there. And there were other children that would also be quiet. So it is proven record. And also those families who make their children hafiz of Quran. You talk to them, you'll find out. Many of them will say, for my son, became a hafiz. For my daughter, she became a hafiz of Quran at a very early age. And if you ask them, how is that possible? She said that, oh, when I was hamila, throughout the 9 months, I would be listening to the Quran. Or sometimes I'll bring it close to the stomach, so that the effectivity will be there. And now those children were. In fact, Maulana Taqi Usmani, he himself said in one of the places, that one of his sons got delayed in memorizing Quran. And when he found out through his wife, it was that for that son, she did not listen to maximum number of Quran from the cassette or whatever the case. So it is proven, and also as Allah says in the Quran, that whatever dua the mother makes during those months, it's very, very powerful. It's very powerful and affects the child. Moving on forward, Allah then tells us, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتٍ حَسَنًا وَكَفَلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. Allah declared openly to the mother of Mary that, look, you dedicated your child before it was born, thinking that it was a son, but even now it's a daughter, I as Allah will accept it. And I will make sure that someone takes care. Because every father and mother become concerned more for daughter than son. Right or wrong? It's human nature. I know sometimes people say, oh, this is discrimination, racism from parents. You know, they let the girl do different things and let the boy on the loose. Well, when it comes to daughter's issue, and this is to inform those daughters who always have this claim against parents, it's a natural thing. Even the mother of Mary, being a wife of a great person, she still had the same hesitation, reluctancy. How can I leave my daughter in Bayt al-Maqdis? It's all boys over there. It's all a masjid. It's a place or environment of only malehood. What's a female going to do there? How's she going to grow up? Because they used to come and give at early age. So Allah tells us, فَتَقَبَّ اللَّهَ رَبُّهَ بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. Allah accepted qubool, her dedication, with a qubool hasan, with a very great and beautiful acceptance. وَكَفَّنَا زَكْرِيَّ. Look, Allah made the intizam. Allah made the system, the management, that Mary, Maryam bint Imran, will be grown up in the Bayt al-Maqdis in a nice way without any problem and troubles. Why? Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam will take care. Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam was in charge, given the duty of taking care of this newborn, new girl that has come to Bayt al-Maqdis because her parents have dedicated her. And of course they didn't go send her newborn like 5 days old, then as soon as she was able to walk and be like 3, 4, 5 years old, she was dropped over there. And Zakariya Islam, as it's given in the books of history, Zakariya Islam made a special chamber for her, separately, set in a separate dimension, direction, so that she will be secluded away from all the males, away from all the places. And it is mentioned that when Maryam alayhi salam came to the masjid, Bayt al-Maqdis, many people said, oh, I will take care of it, I will take care of her, I will take care of her. But of course, the mother of Maryam, she was very, very concerned. If she goes, who's going to take care of my daughter? It's going to go in right hands or wrong hands, what happened? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Prophet Zakariya was there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the inspiration that, look, make out lots. This is a system that is a sunnah of all the Prophets. Remember when Yunus alayhi salam was also in the ship, they were taking out lots. Lots means your chit name, raffle draw, if your name comes up. So when they made a raffle draw, every time it came, Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. There's another one. They didn't want. They tried another one. Then they tried. The people who are living there at the Bayt al-Maqdis said, change the pen. Or with the pen that we write, throw that pen in the water, in the river. Whichever pen flows against the current, will use that person's house or that person's family to for kafala of money. They did everything. All came back to Zakariya. Exactly same scenario in Yunus al-Islam's story, where he was in the ship and the ship was getting heavier. They said, we have to throw someone off the ship. They kept making the raffle draw. Every time they took it out, it was the name of Yunus al-Islam. People on the ship got scared. They said, no, he's a prophet of Allah. We can't just throw a prophet of Allah. But Allah mandated for him, because Allah wanted Yunus al-Islam to get off the ship in the water and in the belly of the big whale. That's why when people even, the message Allah is giving here, when the thing is decreed from up there, no matter how many harbe, how many tricks and treachery and trials people do on earth, it will not. Here, people tried their best, that Zakariya Islam doesn't get the kafala of Maryam. They tried changing the pen, the ink, the paper, all kinds of trickery that was there. But because it was mandated by Allah that Zakariya Islam has to take care of Maryam, everything came into it. The message in this is for what? In 2006, for us today, the message is, sometimes we try everything to get something, but it's not happening. It means what? Allah is sending a message. It's not decreed for you. I want to give you a small example. Many times people try to do everything to get a green card in this country. Everything. By hook or by crook, by any means. Every route they take, there's a blockage. It doesn't happen. Whereas there are other people who don't really are interested, they don't do nothing and they get it in a flick. Why? Because for some, Allah has mandated up there, you try anything, it doesn't work. And for some, Allah has not mandated, it happens. So that is why Allah SWT is sending us the message that if you get the ishara, when all the locks, when all the raffle were coming out, and finally people gave up, they said every name comes out of Zakariya, we have to give it, you have to submit to the will of Allah. That is why Allah SWT is teaching us here. So Zakariya Islam, he took her in his kafala. He made a special chamber for her. She would be over there doing ibadah, doing qanitin, as Allah SWT tells us in the Quran about her very clearly, that she was a person that was very, she was a woman that is very pure, very pristine, and very pious, always doing ibadah of Allah, salah, long salats, tilawah of the whatever the book was applicable at that time. With Zakariya al-Islam. And here Allah tells us in Surah Al-Imran, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. The angels came to Maryam alayhi salam and asked and told her, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ. Really, Allah has chosen you. Meaning Allah has raised your status and rank. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah and throughout, you know, there's a whole surah, Surah Maryam. Why? And Allah has mentioned Maryam alayhi salam just like the prophets of Allah in many different surahs. In Surah Tahreem, in Surah Al Imran, in Surah Maryam, the whole surah itself, in Surah Nisa, in Surah Al-Am, in many different places Allah has mentioned about Maryam, Mary. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing to the people who read Quran that look, Allah has given equality. Wherever Allah has mentioned prophets' names, Allah has also mentioned Maryam and Isa, Isa bint Maryam. The biggest sharaf, like they say in Arabic, sharaf in Arabic means honor, wiqar, decree, the respect. The biggest honor, respect and dignity Allah gave to Maryam is what? Who can tell me? Yes. A prophet of Allah named after her. Because all the prophets were named after their fathers. But Isa has no father. So the mother's name will be there. Allah was not cruel. Allah was not unjust. They say, oh, since he has no father, just call him Isa, Jesus. No. Every place you read in the Quran, Isa bint Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus son of Mary, Jesus son of Mary, Jesus son of Mary. Whereas in other places, wherever the prophets were there, okay, Suleiman ibn Dawood, and so on and so forth. Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, Yusuf ibn Yaqub, okay, Yaqub ibn Ishaq. But here, for Isa alayhi salam, is very good, yes, very good honor and everything, but more honor than Isa alayhi salam is the honor for her mother. That her name is fixed with the name of a prophet of Allah. Her son is a great person on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I do not shy away from praising women. If Allah has praised men by having all his father's name attached with the son, Allah has also praised women by having a woman's name attached with the son. And that is why Allah chose that this miraculous birth will have to happen. It will happen to show the equality and simplicity that Allah has created between men and women. Of course, biologically, men and women are created differently, and you know, through hormones and genes, everything is different. But in terms of status and rank, Allah is saying they're both equal. But equality, unfortunately, today has gotten a different mentality. You think equal means whatever men do, women have to do. This is equal. No! Allah has chalked out a different dimension for each gender. Whatever Allah has chalked out and chartered for a woman has not meant for a man. And whatever Allah has chalked out and chartered for a man is not meant for a woman. And this is the equality that Allah is talking about. I have created you equal in the sense you're equal in rank and status. If the father is doing things outside the home and in the society, building a society and ummah and community, the mother is equally sharing, equal by building society internally. She's shaping and carving the minds of the next generation. He is building the building blocks for the next generation. She is carving the mind. And that's what Allah wanted to show from this miraculous birth of Jesus and from this great honor of the mother Mary. That Allah is saying, she is a unique woman, but she is very pious and chaste throughout her life. And Allah tells us very clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ. Mustafa, Mustafa, one of the names of Rasulullah is Mustafa, the chosen one. Meaning just like Allah chose Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Muhammad, Musa, Sulaiman, Dawud, Allah chose Maryam bint Imran. Allah chose them, Allah chose her. Istafaki, Wataharaki. And Allah clearly cleaning the minds of the people who have filth in their mind about her. Many people on earth today, other than Muslims, have very bad thoughts about Mary. Allah is clearing that by saying, Istafaki wa taharaki. And Allah purified you, O Mary. Mary is the whole and whole of purity. Mary is a symbol of purity. Virgin Mary is a symbol of piety. It's a symbol of purity and pakizah in terms of emulating the purity of a woman. The sincerity of a woman, the solidarity of a woman's personality. That is what Allah is. Allah is giving us so many accolades in the Quran to show that look, women's clear maqam is this. Not what society has done. I don't say men, but I say society. What society has done to womanhood or women's personality today is butchered its integrity, its honor, its decree. Allah is saying the maqam of honor, the maqam of a woman is where Maryam wants to be. But unfortunately, society has used this woman and literally butchered her status, ridiculed her rank, and dragged her to all walks of life. How bad it looks when a woman is a mechanic of equality. How bad it looks when a woman is cleaning the dirt and trash of other people. Oh, equality. How bad it is for a woman to clean different things. And how bad it is for a woman to also wrestle. I have to get in the ring. Equality. Boxing. Everything. I mean, they're making movies. They are programming, brainwashing society. That movie that was released, $1 Million Baby or whatever the thing was. The whole and sole goal of that movie was to show equality. You know who's running Hollywood? It's not women. It's those who want to demean and degrade, devalue the maqam of women. How do they disguise it? They disguise it by saying, oh, equality. If man went there and did that, woman has to go there and do the same thing. That's not equality. What Allah is saying, equality is in each other's rank and status and the job description given. Because what Allah is telling us from Maryam alayhi salam, that her job description was that she is a daughter. And the mother immediately receded. She said, no, I can't give a daughter. But Allah said, no, you dedicated beforehand. You cannot go backtrack. You can't go back off from your dedication. You give your dedication. Now is this daughter? Look, I will use your daughter for the rest of humanity and show the world that whatever people think of dedication from a boy, a man, can come from a woman, but more. More. How? Because Allah did not have, for a prophet of Allah, he has to also be out physical in the public. She was secluded in a small chamber in a room, and she's getting food. Zakariya would come all the time to her and say, oh Maryam, where do you get this food from? It's winter time, you have fruits for summer. It's summertime, you have fruits from the winter time. She would say, this is from Allah. Allah SWT wants to show all the humanity that when somebody is dedicated and pure and sincere to the cause of Allah, Allah will take care of them. And that is what Allah SWT tells us here. إِنَّ اللَّهُ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. O Maryam, O Mary, Allah has chosen you and purified you and then chosen you and then raised you and then elevated your rank over all the women on earth. All the women on earth. In regards to this ayah, Rasulullah said in the hadith, خَيْرُ النِّسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعَ. The best of the women of the world, there are four. Four women, Rasulullah from his own blessed mouth and tongue is saying, four women on this earth came, were born, lived, worked, and then died. Those four women were the best of all the women that you can think in your mind. Who are they? Number one, he says, Rasulullah says, Maryam bint Imran. Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Number two, Wa Asiya imra'at Fir'aun. Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh. Wife of who? Pharaoh, tyrant, who killed people, who butchered people, who shed blood, who created mischief, who jina haram kar diya logon ne duniya mein, uski biwi ko Allah Taala ne kya rutwa maqam diya. There's a message in that too. Wa Khadija bint Khuwailid, and Khadija, this daughter of Khuwailid, wa Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah said these four women are from khair nisa'ul alamin. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, كَمَلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ. Perfection. A lot of men have been perfected. All the prophets of Allah are perfected. كَمَلَ مِنْ from رِجَال, from men, there's a lot of people who have been perfected and superiority from men. وَلَمْ يَكْمُلْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا الثَّلَاثِ. But from women, men have become perfected, purity, sincerity, highest, except three. Who are they? Number one, he says, Rasulullah, again, the name comes, Maryam bint Imran. Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Number two, Wa Asiya imra'at Fir'aun. And Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh. And number three, Khadija bint Khuwailid. Wa inna fadla, and then he says in this hadith also, because in the previous hadith, he said, Maryam Asia, Khadija. These three all are same. But in that hadith he said, well, Fatima bint Muhammad. Fatima, daughter of Muhammad. In this hadith he said the same thing. Maryam, Asia, Khadija. And then Aisha, his wife. The youngest wife and the last wife he had married. Asia, I mean Aisha, he said, وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ عَيْشَةَ عَلَى النِّسَاءَ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَعْرِ الطَّعَامِ. And he said, the fadl, the blessing and the privilege of Aisha bint Abi Bakr, the wife, زَوْجَةُ رَسُولَ الظَّلَمِ أُمَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Aisha, her fadl on all the other women is like the fadl of Thareed. Thareed was a special kind of dish in the Arabs, in the tribal nomads at that time. And he's saying that just like there are so many types of food, but when you bring Thareed, it is beyond and above all these. It's the same thing as if I bring all kinds of things here. Dal and gosh and sabzi and things like that. But then I bring a nice big kind of murgh musallam or murgh biryani. He says, oh, this dish is special. So the Rasulullah is giving a simile here. He's giving an analogy. He's saying, just like in terms of food, there are all kinds of regular dishes. But out of all the dishes, you bring one special dish, it supersedes all. So he said the fadl of Aisha is like that. Now the scholars say here, why did Rasulullah and Allah in this ayah also say, why is he saying these three women? They're unanimous in all of them. Aisha, I mean Maryam bint Imran, Asiya, Imra'at Fir'aun, and Khadija bint Khuwaylid. What is common between these three women? Maryam bint Imran, Asiya, Imra'at Fir'aun, and Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Who can tell me? What did they have PhDs? Were they working for Microsoft? Were they the CEO of Oracle? Were they the CEO of Lucent Technologies? Were they having three cars and two mansions? Were they the queen of some king? What is common in these women that Allah is saying that Allah, the Master, the Creator, has chosen these three women, and Rasulullah is saying from his blessed tongue, these three women are above and beyond all the world. And along with these three, he attached one, his daughter, Fatima, and two, his wife Aish. But these three are common. What is common between them?
They are like adversaries, I think.
No.
They raised the Prophet.
Huh?
They raised.
Thank you. They raised a Prophet of Allah on the face of this earth. They put forward something that would change the history of humanity. Maryam bint Imran raised Isa bint Maryam, Ibn Maryam. Isa Islam changed humanity and will come back again to change humanity again. We'll cover in this series how Isa Islam will come back. What is he going to do when he comes back? Is he going to get a job at 7-Eleven or something? Is he going to get a job with Bill Gates and his Microsoft company? What is he going to do? We'll find out in that third or fourth part of the series. But Isa Islam, his job is unfinished. It's left. But he was raised for once and for twice. He was raised, he changed humanity once. By being a prophet and advocating people, he will change humanity again when he comes back. Asiya bin Imra'at Fir'aun raised Musa al-Islam in his arms. When the Tabut came in the river, she picked up, oh, it's my small boy. Let me take him. Yes, the mother of Musa al-Islam came to the house and did the feeding and everything. But who was the supervisor? Asiya. Similarly, Khadija r.a., she married a 25-year-old young man. Of course, he's groomed, he's raised, but yet she took care of him after marriage for 15 years. And then once he became a prophet at age 40, she took care of him again another 10 years. She gave all her mal the first day. Ya Rasulullah, you are a Rasul now. Take all my company, all this for you. Of course, the husband wife, like nowadays, husbands say, whatever is yours, honey, is mine also. And whatever is mine is yours. But more comes from the other side. Give me all your stuff first, then I'll tell you what I have to give you. So she could have said, we are married together, everything is no. But she dedicated, she showed Rasulullah that look, this is it. In fact, Khadija رضي الله عنها, one time Aisha رضي الله عنها, she was talking about Khadija and he was listening. He was listening peacefully and patiently. Suddenly he said, Aisha, enough is enough. I don't want to hear from your tongue anymore about Khadija. She supported me when no one supported me. After that day, Aisha رضي الله عنها, she never opened her tongue about Khadija رضي الله عنها in front of Rasulullah. Because she would be talking all of the Europe, because he used to remember, he missed her a lot. After her demise, after her passing away, Khadija رضي الله عنها, she left early. Rasulullah left continued in war. So he would always, from time to time, he would always remember her, oh, Khadija did this, oh, Khadija. So being a woman, Aisha, and then she said, he said to her, look, she gave me support on the day when I was shivering from the cave, from the ghar, and she said to me, لَنْ يَدَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ Allah will never waste you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You take care of the poor, you take care of the needy, you are honest, you are trustworthy to people, you help others, you always benefit others. How dare Allah raise someone who benefits others? Remember, brothers and sisters, one qanun, qanun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the supreme qanun of Allah. From Adam alayhi salam time to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the last day that the last child is born. The qanun of Allah is what? Supreme law. Whoever benefits others, Allah doesn't waste them. And that is why Rasulullah ﷺ always prophesied, always advocated. He always gave an obligation. He always told people, be good to others, be beneficial to others, be productive. Hamesha dusron ka soche, dusron ki madad kare, dusron ke kaam aaye. Kyunki jab tak aap is cheez mein mulawwis rahenge, ki dusron ki bhalai kar rahe, aap ko nuksan karenge. Aur jis din aapne apne bhalai ka soch liya, apne nafa ka soch liya, us din aap zaya honge. Not in the sense that Allah will kill you that day, but from that day Allah will remove His backing. Because now this person is selfish. Allah's mother is saying, live for others, don't live for yourself. Because when you live for others, you help others, you benefit others, you work for others, you dedicate yourself for others, then Allah's mother takes care of your affairs. It's like putting yourself in cruise control. When you're cruise control, you don't put your leg on the gas pedal. People say, are you crazy? Why are you putting your leg on the gas pedal? It's on cruise. Oh yeah, let me relax a little bit. That is why. That is why all the prophets of Allah and all the pious people and all the good people, the ulama, the shuyukh, the beneficial people in society, in history that we see, whenever they helped others, benefited others, their own affairs were always in cruise control. Allah took care of their family issues, their personal affairs, everything. Because they never lived for themselves. And that is exactly what Allah's mother is saying. That even here, Maryam bint Imran, she lived for others. She never lived for herself. She never worried that, oh, my mother has put me in Bayt al-Maqdis and now I have to grow up in this chamber. She never worried what I'm going to do here. And she will always be doing what Allah told her to do. And that is, Allah said, Ya Maryamu iqnati li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i maraqin. Allah gave direct, clear orders to Maryam al-Islam. Oh Maryam, Uqnuti, uqnut or qanut means someone who gets up in tahajjud and prays to Allah. Meaning be a tahajjud guzar, be a qiyam al-layl person. Don't just be a day person. Day person are those people who only pray to Allah during the day and night, meaning up till Isha. Night person, a night owl in Quranic language is called to that person who always makes an effort to wake up in the middle of the night. Even if it's once a month, once 2 months, once 6 months, once in a year, even if that is the case, but at least the person making the effort, Allah has special, special blessing on that person. So Allah is giving Maryam and to all the women through Maryam an order. Women and women folk, you want to be closer to Allah, be qanit. Qanit, someone who spends long hours standing. Qanit literally means someone who's standing. When do you stand? You stand in prayer. Do you stand in fasting? Do you stand in zakat? Do you stand in shahada? No, you stand in salah. So the more you pray in standing, which means, and you don't stand long hours in Fajr, Zuhr, Isha, Maghrib. You see somebody standing for an hour or half an hour in Isha, they're going to say, crazy. But that's why the long prayer is always associated with tahajjud. He say, uqnuti li rabbiki wasjudi, make a lot of sujood, meaning make a lot of salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرْكَعِ الْمَرَاكِئِينَ And bow, or prostrate and bow with those who prostrate, meaning have salah with the jama'ah. Because she was living in Bayt al-Maqdis. Also, for women that they say, oh, we don't go to the masjid, we don't pray. Oh, it's optional for them, they can go, but they're not made fun. What does it mean praying with jama'ah for women? It means that when the time for azan comes, they get up and they pray at home, on its time. If the jama'ah in the masjid is 8 o'clock and the women, they leave all their affairs in the house and pray at 8 o'clock in Asia, they are getting the same ajr salah with the jama'ah, even though they are in their home. Because a lot of times women have this mentality, oh, humne to masjid jaane nahi, hum jab faare honge to padhe. When the father will pray. The only prayer that the woman pray hastily and quickly is which one? Maghrib. कि वो मगरिब का टाइम जाए, जोहर है अच्छा एक सवा बजे जमात है, चार बजे पढ़ असर है और मगरिब से पहले पढ़ Let me finish this chore, let me get take care of this kid, let me take care of that. This is shaitan putting waswasa on the woman folk. A word saying to the woman, you can be equal, huh? Equality. Not equal with boxing and fighting and wrestling, but equal in status. Women, you can be equal. You don't have to go to the masjid specifically to be equal to the man. You can be equal in your house by praying on its time. Zohar is 1 o'clock, you pray 1:15 at the jamaatah, you make your fixed schedule. If women make a fixed schedule of prayer at home, कि मैंने जोर सवा बजे पढ़नी है, असर जो है 6 बजे पढ़नी है, मगरिब तो खैर इशा दिस टाइम, दिस इज देयर जमा वरकाई मा राकिइन दर अल्लाह सेइंग टू मरियम अलैहि सलाम ذلك من انباء الغيب نوحيه اليك وما كنت لديهم اذ يلقون اقلامهم ايهم يكفل مريم وما كنت لديهم اذ يختصمون الله سبحانه وتعالى in the next ayat addressing Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and oh you Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم were not there meaning you're not alive at that time on earth to see who would take care kafala Kafala means taking care of Maryam when they were taking out the raffles, the lots, and every time the name of Zakariya al-Islam came. So Allah was addressing to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were not there, but I as Allah made it sure that Maryam al-Islam, Maryam will be taken care of by Zakariya. Just like Allah made sure that Musa al-Islam will be taken care of by Asiya in there, in the house of Pharaoh. So Allah is showing us here, in these three women, Maryam bint Imran, Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, and Khadija bin Khalid, that they nurtured leaders. I know you might say, oh, they all were prophets. That is true. But Allah, the message He wants to give to women, to mothers basically, because every mother has a child. You can't call a woman a mother if she doesn't have a child. Right? So this word mother is taqaddus, quds, meaning sacred, holy. This maqam of motherhood is a very, very high maqam. And that is what Allah wants to teach. This is what I wanted to conclude with today. Because many times people say, why did Allah have Maryam be a mother without a man? Because Allah wants to show, man is not important. What is more important? Motherhood. Ma. Mother. She is important. And to make a mother a mother, Allah doesn't even need a man. He can make a mother with Isa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, look, woman, your true maqam, your true status, your true PhD and highest degree is motherhood. The moment and the day a woman in this world becomes a mother, she has graduated from the college of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now she has a job cut out for her. She has a job to raise this new child, whether it's a boy or a girl, because the mother of Mary said, oh, this is a girl, what am I going to do with a girl? Allah said, no, give me this girl. You dedicated the child long before. Look what I will do with this girl. This daughter of yours will become so famous that humanity will remember her till the day of judgment, and even afterwards. And then when Allah made Maryam a mother, Allah is telling her, look, your true job is to produce leaders for tomorrow. Maryam al-Islam was not busy out there in the society being shoulder to shoulder with men. Oh, men do trade and business and job, I gotta work too. Forget about Isa al-Islam. Regardless of whether Isa al-Islam was a prophet or not, what the message Allah is giving for women in society, you have a job cut out if you're a mother. If you're not a mother, you also have a job cut out, but we'll discuss that some other day. Right now, Allah is saying, the moment a woman becomes a mother, she has a job cut out. She has to invest all her education, all her ilm, knowledge, all her skills, all her caliber, all her resources. She has to use all she has to invest in this child, because this child is like a seed, like a gem. She will die, but she will leave behind this investment. And this investment will bring her akhirah. And that is the problem with humanity today. Today the society has become reverse. Why? Because the conspiracies of evil have busy, majhool, have made the woman so busy that she has left her, she has hung her coat of motherhood on the rack, throws her child in daycare from age 2 days or 2 months or 2 weeks old, and she's busy. Oh, I came back from maternity leave in 2 weeks. The faster they come back from maternity leave, the more proud and the more respectful they feel. This is what the corporate world is teaching today to them. Whereas Allah is teaching, you have destroyed your akhirah, you have destroyed your future. Because this new child who's been grown through so many different hands, Because babysitter is not the same all the time. Through daycare and other people, will be a perplexed personality. And if you, mother, devote your 4 or 5 years of initial life in that child, and then when he or she starts going to school, then the mother sets out of the house, there's no problem in that. Because she has invested the main thing in there. And that is a problem today, that society has corrupted the woman mind so much that they don't realize this great undertaking. Why would Allah have Isa Islam be born without a father to Maryam if Allah did not want mothers to take care of children? Because today, the cry of feminism is, we are not created as janitors, we are not created as daycare babysitters, we are women, we are equal men. Yes, feminists are right in a way, but you're losing, you're putting something else at stake, you're putting your future at stake. And the whole message of Maryam having Isa Islam without any man, Allah wants to show the value of motherhood. Maki amanat maki maqam kya wo asal Allah ta'ala bata jaye. Wa akhiru alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salam.